Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and I hope everybody survived a pretty brutal October in the stock market. We had the worst October since around 2011, and many stocks went down about 8% to 20%. I mean, it was a bloodbath, especially in tech, where I'm pretty heavy. But I remain pretty calm. I've been buying on the dips. I do believe that the economy is not going to roll over. Employment levels are strong. You know, even though the Fed continues to raise rates, the 10-year bond yield, yes, it's gone up to about 3.1, 3.2%, but it's still pretty low. And the irony is that the yield curve is steepening again a little bit, right? And so that is actually a bullish sign, whereas a flattening yield curve is a bearish sign. So I got to apologize up front if I don't sound really enthusiastic or loud at the moment. It's 5 a.m. in the morning, and my parents are here visiting from Hawaii, and I don't want to wake them. When the stock market takes a dump, I like to focus on happier things, like nice houses with beautifully remodeled bathrooms, where you can actually go to the bathroom. As a dad now, I want my parents and in-laws to come visit more, which is why it'd be nice to have a ground floor level dedicated just for them. You know, private bathroom, private sitting area, private bedroom, private outdoor patio. I mean, that would be wonderful. After so many years, we're all used to our own space. And given I write from home and sometimes podcast from home, it'd be nice to have a large enough house so that I can't hear my boy squealing with joy or crying in frustration. It's one of the hardest things to do to record a podcast while you're hearing your boy having a lot of fun. All you want to do is drop everything in, you know, play. And that's at least what I want to do. But then my dad actually gave me a really good hack. He just said, why don't you just use those noise-canceling headphones? And, you know, they're like $300 wireless. And I thought to myself, hey, actually, that makes a lot of sense. The reason why I don't use them is because I have these old headphones that require charging and all these wires. So, hey, thanks, Dad. Sounds like a good tip. But finally, I have some fear of missing out that if I don't buy a house in one of the best neighborhoods in San Francisco, I might never be able to get in. And this is true for many people who actually miss the housing boat, right? It's you know, property prices, let's say it's $1 million home, goes up 10%, that's $100,000. But if you only have $100,000 income, which is decent, you know, your income has got to go up $100,000 or 100% just to stay even. So this is why it's really hard to catch up or get in unless you have a tremendous income growth in your future. So anyway, a couple weeks ago, I found the perfect house. It's on four levels. So actually, that's not too perfect, right? That's a lot of stairs. But hear me out. There's a ground level floor with the, you know, the in-law unit, beautifully remodeled, nice yard, right? So the parents don't have to go walking up downstairs. And we don't have to all live on the same floor. There's a lovely kitchen with a family room to watch the kids while you cook, and there's a nice walkout deck, which is one of my favorites, and it's I think west facing, so you get the afternoon sun. And then there are three bedrooms all on the same floor with two full bathrooms remodeled. And then what's really cool is there's this attic that's about 800 square feet, and it can be like a great place to write or just to be a man cave, to veg out, to play poker, or to be a kid's play area, or be the teenager's room when he grows up, you know? So I was thinking to myself, wow, this is perfect compared to my house that's on two levels. So it's missing that in-law level, and it's missing that attic. And this house that I found in Presidio Heights, one of the most prime neighborhoods in my city, is about 1,300 square foot larger at 3,200 square feet. So I was thinking to myself, man, this would be really nice. It's closer to the tennis club. It's got all this room, you know, the in-law units, like insurance for if my parents need to live with us. And I thought, you know, this could be good, you know. But the problem is the price. You know, guess how much this house costs? $2 million? That sounds crazy, right? $3 million? Wow, really? Nope. This house costs $4.4 million. And it just got into contract recently, so maybe I'm a little bit bitter, but not really. And I think it's probably going to sell for about $4.5 million, which is pretty good value for Presidio Heights, believe it or not. Anything below $5 million is good value because the houses in Presidio Heights are pretty darn huge, and the neighborhood is one of the finest. So I think what I want everybody to do is to do the math like I'm doing the math in this podcast and in this post, because once you do the math, you'll realize, holy hell, a big expensive house, while in theory sounds nice, can really shackle you to a job and to making big bucks, required big bucks, for the rest of your life. So here's some quick math on a $4.5 million house. Mortgage. Let's say I put $2 million down, which would be all the proceeds and then a couple hundred thousand more after selling my house in 2017. I'll take on a $2.5 million mortgage at 4.5%. That would be a monthly cost of $12,667, or an annual cost of $152,000. Wow, that is a lot. But what is even more disturbing, because the mortgage, at least you're paying down some principal each month, is the property tax. Property tax in San Francisco is 1.23% on the assessed value of your house. So if I buy this house for $4.5 million, the monthly property tax is $4,613, folks. That's $55,350. And despite Proposition 13, the city will assess your value 2% higher every year, regardless, even in a recession. I had to fight my property tax assessor 4 years in a row just to get that number down. And then there's property insurance, let's say $2,700 a year. And then there's landscaping and maintenance, and I just put $6,000. You know, a good rough rule of thumb is like you're going to spend 0.5% to 1% on the value of your house in maintenance. You know, something always comes up. And then, of course, there's, you know, a lovely yard to cut and, you know, blow the leaves off and stuff like that. And then finally, utilities. I've just estimated about $600 a month because it's a larger house, water, electricity, and garbage. So you have a total housing expense of $18,605 a month, or $223,000 a year. Now, given you can earn about 3.1% risk-free right now, right, the 10-year bond yield, the $2 million down payment can actually earn about $62,000 a year, state income tax-free. So one could argue that the total annual cost of owning this house is not only $223,000, but closer to $285,000. Wow, that is a lot of money. After 20 years, you will likely have paid roughly $1.2 million in property taxes alone. So that's absurd, and this is the one thing that I just can't get over when it comes to owning a nice house, the level of property taxes. So in Hawaii, that level is only 0.3% versus 1.23% here in California. So that's one of the reasons why I want to go to Hawaii and live and own a nicer house if I plan to do that. And then to add insult to injury, due to the $10,000 SALT deduction cap, I can no longer deduct the entire property tax amount of $55,000, right? It's only $10,000. And the SALT deduction cap includes state income taxes as well. So let's say you made, I don't know, $200,000 a year. You'd probably pay about $13,000 in state income tax. That also is no longer deductible. Therefore, I'd be losing out on at least another $10,000 in tax refunds, despite the rise in the standard deduction to $24,000 for married filers. So these are the things that I want you guys to think about. And if you want to be financially independent, if you don't want to work for the rest of your life, let's do some more math. It requires about $7.8 million in capital to cover all your housing costs with a 30% effective tax rate and a 4% rate of return if you were to buy this $4.5 million house. Now, if you were to wipe out the mortgage eventually, you would, quote, only need $2.5 million in capital to cover all your housing expenses. But still, that's quite absurd. You need $2.5 million just to cover the housing expenses, even though you don't have a mortgage. I mean, can you see why a house would really trap someone into working a job for a very, very long time? You're probably going to need a $500,000 to $1 million a year job to be able to afford this house. Especially, you know, the people who buy this type of house has a family, right? And if you have a family, you're probably thinking, well, since I'm spending this much money on a house, I got to spend $35,000 to $50,000 in private school because I want to go to the private school close by to my house. And if a downturn ever comes, these $500,000 plus jobs go away in a hurry, really, really quickly, folks. Then your stress goes through the roof as an albatross hangs around your neck. If you needed to sell this house in a down market, you'd not only lose money on the principal value of your home, you'd also have to pay at least 5%, if not 6%, in realtor commissions and transfer taxes. So that would be another $225,000 out the window. All for the luxury of having more room to, I don't know, do what while you're at work for most of the day. It doesn't really make sense. Buying this house, or thinking about buying this house, really is giving me deja vu. It's like exactly how I felt when I bought my Lake Tahoe property in 2007. The real estate market had just started to slow, like it's slowing now. And I thought I was getting a steal by buying this two-bedroom, two-bath condo for $718,000, since the owners bought the property for $810,000 in 2006. You know, I was earning the most amount of money I had ever earned in my life at the time, and I erroneously extrapolated that earnings power forward for 10 years. Of course, we all know that the financial crisis hit, and my earnings power, along with my property value, got cut by 40 to 50%. And so right now, Financial Samurai is also firing on all cylinders, and I haven't seen a down year since I started in 2009. But it's really possible that Financial Samurai and all my investments could take a beating in 2019. October's stock market rout could be a harbinger for slower growth ahead. You know, the stock market discounts 6 to 12 months in the future. So I think people need to wake up, and I'm trying to wake up to shake myself from not wanting to get this huge house because of family. You know, if I leveraged up and bought this home, we could lose our lifestyle in a nanosecond because one or both of us would have to go back to work. So all that levity we've been feeling since we moved in 2014 and effectively lowered our housing costs by 40% would go out the window. You know, the house, this house, would start owning us instead of the other way around. And that's just terrible. You know, when we moved from our more expensive house to our current house in 2014, I just wanted a change of scenery. You know, we were thinking about going to Hawaii, but we weren't ready. So we're thinking, well, the next best thing would be to have an ocean view home on the west side of San Francisco. And it happened to be 40% cheaper. So we're like, yeah, why not? But we had still kept our existing home. So it wasn't like we were getting less into debt. We were getting more into debt and leveraging further up. But really what happened was after we sold the house, our other house in 2017, we really started feeling the benefits of living way below our means. And so now, even with just a 3.5% rate of return on the house sale proceeds from 2017, that rate of return can 100% cover our existing housing costs, which means I'm certain my wife and I will never have to go back to work again so long as we remain in our current house. And that's the key point here, folks. I highly recommend you keep your annual total housing expense to less than 20% of your annual gross income. And over time, you should chip away and work at it to get that housing expense down to 10% of gross income through higher earnings, right? Once you do, achieving financial independence becomes so much easier. It's really the housing costs that really just derails you. It can derail you if you keep on going up, up, up. But if you go down, 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 it's just an amazing effect on your ability to be free. You get so many more options with what you want and can do with your life. I mean, if you only have, let's say, $1,000 a month housing cost, it's okay to go travel the world for, let's say, 6 months or just try something else differently. But if you've got, you know, $18,000 a month in housing costs, and then you want to take like a month away to do something, I mean, that's just a really, really heavy fixed cost you've got to deal with forever. So I say go ahead and fantasize about living in a nicer, more expensive property from time to time. You know, after all, visiting open houses is free, and this is one of my favorite exercise and, you know, mental activity to do almost every other week. And maybe even spend a pretty penny renting a nice place for vacation once a year to get it out of your system. It's like renting a Ferrari on the weekend to get it out of your system. And after that, come to back down to earth after you do the math and understand how much you'll need to sacrifice in order to own such a property. And these are real sacrifices of working at jobs you might not like or that are really stressful, being stuck in a place and not being allowed to move away because, you know, your housing costs are so expensive, and to sell would cost a fortune. Once you do the math, I'm sure you'll appreciate more of what you already have. So this $4.5 million house in Presidio Heights is the perfect example of my Burl rule. That's buy utility, rent luxury. It's a much better value to rent this house for $12,000 to $14,000 a month, which sounds crazy, but it is better value given cap rates in San Francisco are at around 2.5%. You know, think about it, 2.5%, that doesn't even match the risk-free rate of return of 3.1%. You know, so if you are going to think about property, really think about buying utility. So buying lower value property in, you know, with higher net rental yields in other parts of the country to earn that passive income. And then just rent something, yeah, it could be nice, but it gives you the flexibility to leave and not have to deal with all the maintenance stuff and the property taxes if you decide, you know what, this is not for you. So my cozy home currently is being battle tested with my parents in town. So four adults, right, and a toddler is quite a crowd. But my house is holding up like a champ, and it feels good that I'm getting more value out of my small house with more people than with less. And what I found is that no matter how big or small your house is, you tend to get used to the house size. Therefore, I think I'll be shelving my dream property plans for now until the next stock market correction hits, because after all, real estate is always going to be more desirable than stocks. So thanks for listening, folks, and once again, sorry if this energy level is not really as high as normal. My parents are still sleeping, and I can hear my dad snoring, but, you know, it's all about conquering the morning to conquer the day, and the stock market is going to open pretty soon, and I'll see you guys later.